WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Hey, happy Thursday. It is Thursday, May 14th, 2015. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Man, oh man, do we have a hot show in store for you all today. Now, of course, this weekend is a pretty big weekend in the world of the green and white. Now, for the first time since 2006, Michigan State will host the Big Ten Outdoor Track and Field Championships, and we've got one of the stars of the MSU track and field team, Tori Franklin. That's right, she is in the house. She will join me live in studio in the blink of an eye. But other than that, we'll also have chatter on the NHL and NBA playoffs. We'll throw it back like we always do. That's right, Throwback Thursday, folks. We'll chat about Lance United advancing to the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. Talk a little Tigers, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Thursday, May 14th. All right, let's start with news concerning the Michigan State men's basketball team. Now, the Michigan State men's basketball game in the 2015 Big Ten ACC Challenge will be a rematch of its 2015 NCAA Tournament Elite Eight game against, yeah, Louisville. Now, the Spartans will host the Cardinals on Wednesday, December 2nd at the Breslin Center. This will be the first regular season meeting between Michigan State and Louisville since 1999. With the last three games having come in the NCAA tourney. Now, overall, Michigan State is 6-9 in the Big Ten ACC Challenge history. All right, recruiting news concerning the Michigan State football team. Demetric Vance Jr., a four-star safety from Detroit Cass Tech High School, had more than a dozen offers. On Wednesday, he made his decision. That's right, he will become a Spartan. At 6'2", 195 pounds, Vance is the number 17 safety in the 2016 recruiting class, says scout.com. Now, he had four INTs and 61 tackles this year. Vance is the 10th member of Michigan State's 2016 class and the third commitment in the past 2 days. Coach D is going to work. All right, Jim Harbaugh's right-hand man with the Michigan football program, his longtime friend, Jim Minnick, has been suspended indefinitely following a weekend arrest on suspicion of driving under the influence. Now, Harbaugh announced the suspension early this evening after reports surfaced about 2 hours earlier of Minnick's arrest. Now, Minnick was arrested around 2:30 a.m. on Saturday following a single car accident outside of Ann Arbor, in Pittsfield Township. Minnick, next time, drink some lemonade, all right, brother? All right, Blake Countess, entering the season as a redshirt senior defensive back for the University of Michigan, has announced on Instagram that he will transfer to another school for his final year of football eligibility. Now, Countess had just graduated from U of M, so he'd be a graduate transfer and would be eligible to play for another school immediately. All right, some exciting news concerning Michigan's own minor league soccer team. That's right, Lansing United held their nerve through 120 minutes of play against RWB Adria, advancing to the second round of the U.S. Open Cup with a 4-2 penalty shootout win after neither team managed to score a goal from open play. Now, Hoops keeper Quinn McAnney made six saves during the match, but pulled off his biggest stop against Antonio Aguilar in the opening penalty of the shootout. Now, United will now host Louisville City FC on Wednesday, May 20th at 7 p.m. at Archer Stadium in the second round. Exciting stuff. And actually, Current Sports engineer and impact contributor Isaac Constance was at that game, and he'll have a full report later on in the show. You don't want to miss that. All right, the city of Detroit is expecting to submit a bid for a future edition of the college football playoff, likely in 2019. Now, that's according to a person with knowledge of the plans. The deadline is approaching. Reports indicate the end of the month But Detroit is the bid for Detroit is not yet finalized, folks. Now, ESPN.com's Brett McMurphy first reported Detroit's interest, citing the 2018 to 2020 time period for the city's bid. So let's cross our fingers on that one. All right, in last night's NBA playoff action, the Atlanta Hawks, they topped the Washington Wizards due to a last-second Al Horford lay-in. Horford, of course, a native of Grand Ledge, Michigan, right here in Michigan, folks. 82-81, the final of that game. Atlanta is now with a series, 3-2 series lead. Now, the second game features the Golden State Warriors as they top the Memphis Grizzlies 98-78 to take a 3-2 series lead. In the NHL, the two greatest words in sports, that's right, you know it, Game 7. It was on like Donkey Kong last night. The New York Rangers beat the Washington Caps 2-1 in OT, advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the airwaves. Or, hey, even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. If you don't want to tweet me, hey, at least follow me. I'm trying to get my followers up, all right? Well, that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines are open. Yeah, I think it's about that time to start the show. Here we go.
Have a clown, you know. I made an agreement when I joined the Fab Five not to be above the group. It was a chance to be above the group, you know. It was a chance to follow that, and I have stayed consistently as a member. No one's above the other, and it's just disheartening when you pay attention to those rules for 20 plus years, and somebody wants to be Hollywood and make it about them. It's just. You know, it's just, I've sat, you know, here and, you know, heard people on the dock say I called a timeout on purpose. How could you do that? Now, 20 years ago when I went to the league, we didn't mention it. It was a young 20-year-old crying in the back of the van saying, I'm coming back. We're going to win a championship for everyone. That's what that was. And so to hear people now, just to be famous, you know, no one ever loved the Fab Five. So why would you use us to tell stories to get that fake love now? Our whole heart was in not being loved.
And that is how we start the show. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hopefully you're having a great week, folks. You are almost there. The weekend is almost here. That's right. It is Thursday, May 14th. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, the grass is growing. A little bit chilly. I wish it was, you know, still in the 70s still, but hey, we are expected to hit that this weekend, around 80 degrees or so, I believe, and hopefully the weather is nice. There is a ton of stuff going on throughout the weekend. Of course, you gotta be excited if you are a Michigan State fan or a diehard Michigan State track and field fan, because for the first time, again, since 2006, Michigan State will host the Big Ten Outdoor Track and Field Championships. That's right. Big Tens are being held in East Lansing this weekend. The three-day event will get underway exactly tomorrow and run through Sunday at MSU's Ralph Young Track and Field Facility. Now, the forecast does show a bit of rain throughout the weekend, but we'll hope it holds up throughout most of the weekend at least. So it's going to be an exciting time down there this weekend. We also got Tori Franklin in the house, of course, Michigan State track and field star. She'll talk about her expectations for this weekend, and this is going to be kind of an outside the box interview as well. You don't want to miss it, okay, folks? So keep it locked right here. Of course, a busy weekend for us here at WKAR as well, as we will be at the East Lansing Art Festival on throughout the weekend. I will be down there actually on Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. introducing and concluding different bands who are going to come to the stage and rock it out for all of you out there. A lot of art going to be on display. I'm always tempted. You know, this is what my second year doing this event. And when I'm down there just walking around and looking at the different creative artists who come to East Lansing to showcase their art, and then I look at those price tags, and I'm like, yeah, that ain't happening. But it's a fun time, folks. It's a free event. Go on out, you know, take the little ones, you know, and take the fam. It's always a great time. And I love, you know, meeting our listeners and viewers who tune in each and every week to WKAR's Current Sports. So a busy weekend ahead. Before we proceed, of course, I want to invite the man behind the glass, 100 grand, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Al, I'm doing well, I have to say. It's been a busy couple of days yesterday in the sports world.
It has, hasn't it? Exhausting couple of days. But it's fun, for sports fans like us. I mean, you get to just pop a squat, you know, and watch the NBA playoffs. I was flipping back and forth between the NBA playoff games and, of course, Game 7, New York versus Washington. It's got to be, it was a bad day for Washington sports last night with the Capitals falling and, of course, the Washington Wizards falling at the hands of Al Horford. Paul Pierce thought he was the man, too. Did you see that big three-pointer he hit? Big three-pointer, ice water in his veins, and then all of a sudden Al Horford just comes, gets the rebound, a man's rebound, and goes up and wins the game for the Atlanta Hawks. So, do you think the Hawks are going to put that series out?
Al, I think they'll finish it the next game. I think a hurt John Wall just makes the difference.
Because
when John Wall's playing less than 100%, it's not the same Wizards team. We've, of course, seen Bradley Beal and Nene step up since then.
Right.
But John Wall, despite his valiant effort in the last game, they still couldn't pull it out. I can't see them pulling it out at home. And, yeah, I think the Hawks take it in six.
And it was so surprising watching that game last night. I mean, John Wall is out there with a broken hand, and he was efficient. I mean, you can argue and say that he was probably the best guard out of anybody who hit the hardwood last night in the ATL. So, fun series, though. That series has been so fun to watch. And, of course, in the second game, as you just heard in our Current Sports Quick Headliners, the Golden State Warriors just handling business over the Memphis Grizzlies. But I also want to bring up this, Isaac, because you kind of have a pretty cool tie to the man who will be donning the cover of the most popular game in all the video games, Madden. And that being, of course, wide receiver for the New York Giants, Odell Beckham Jr., who won due to a fan vote over Rob Gronkowski, of course, of the New England Patriots. Talk about your connection to Odell, because I think this is very, very cool stuff, people.
Well, Al, this is actually the second time Odell's won the Madden cover. The first time was in my Madden actual video game. You know, I won it with him when I was really little. I made a creative player with him.
You made an Odell Beckham creative player?
Oh, yeah. He was. You should have seen him in sixth grade New Orleans,
right?
Catholic School Division League, whatever it was, because sixth grade, this kid hit a shot from full court to win. Well, it should have won the game.
So he played basketball, too. I didn't know that.
Oh, played basketball? Al, you should look up some of the dunks he can throw down right now. I mean, the kid would make the slam dunk contest if he was in the NBA.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And looking at his family, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about how his mom is a track star. Does she have an Olympic gold medal, I think? Does she have a medal?
His stepmom won a silver medal.
His stepmom. She won a silver medal in the Olympics for track and field. His dad was a LSU football player, right?
Correct.
And his biological mother, is she involved?
She ran track as well.
She ran track as well. So it is just in his blood. But that's very cool that you were actually, is it safe to say, you were pretty cool with Odell back in the day, right?
Middle school. I was friends with him. I'd chill with him, beat him a few times in chess, but he was good. He was good. He was rocking the fro back in those days.
Right,
so,
right.
He was really a multi-talented guy, super nicest guy you could ever meet, and I wish him nothing but the best, and obviously he's got the best right now. Madden covered. You dreamed about that, I'm sure, so did
Man, I remember I was in my diapers playing Madden saying, one day, and you see what happened. I'm behind the mic right now, but yeah, that didn't happen. But still, I mean, it's got to be something special to dine any video game cover it, let alone the most popular one, that being Madden. Let's just knock on wood, because we all know about the mythical Madden curse that is, okay? It seems as though everybody who has graced the cover of Madden happens to get injured their following season. The curse is kind of eerie. So, knock on wood, Odell said yesterday on SportsCenter that he is not a superstitious individual. So, let's hope that doesn't come to fruition, okay?
Oh, you saw the tweet, Al?
I did not. What do you say about the what tweet?
He tweeted a definition of curse and followed it up by saying, I believe in God and his divine plan, not something that is wished upon of others. Hashtag walking by faith.
Preach. Preach, Odell. Prove him wrong, brother. I'm rooting for the man. I love it. All right, folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to get down to business right now because, folks, I'm a little bit tired. You know, still trying to wipe the crust out of my eyes. I had to get up. Get this, folks. I got up today. This has to be like a record. I haven't set this record since maybe like, I don't know what, like middle school or even before that, like elementary school. I got up at 6:30 a.m. this morning, folks. 6:30 a.m. Just to get ready for a doctor's appointment that I had at 7. Went down to the allergist. And this is my first time ever seeing an allergist, but this is the time of the year, of course, where many of you out there may be feeling my pain. You know, you're getting the sniffles. You know, you're coughing a lot. And went down there and had an allergy test. And crazy stuff because I didn't know what an allergy test entailed. You know, they sit you down. They poke you with a bunch of needles filled with different allergens, I guess you can say, like ragweed and pollen, dog and cat. And they look at your back and they see what you're allergic to, Isaac. And I'm allergic to everything. I should be living in a bubble right now, okay? I think I came back. I'm allergic to dogs, which I already knew. And I have a dog, right? Riddle me
I'm
that,
allergic
right?
Allergic too. To dogs.
Are you? Look, we're on the same page. See that? I have a slight allergy to cats. I'm allergic to ragweed, pollen, and a little bit to dust mites. So, yeah, I'm like living in a bubble right now. But it was just so crazy. I'm getting poked. I got like 5 needles in my back as we speak, man. Not actual needles. You know what I mean? I got poked in my back like 20 times. It was kind of weird. So I got up that early for that. Then went back, of course, prepped the show, and now here we are. So a little bit tired. We're going to muscle through this hour, though. Again, 517-355-9527. Before we get to our guest for today's current sports, she has just walked in our studio. Isaac, quick thoughts on our montage that we played to start the show. Chris Webber responding to the comments. That was Chris Webber's response to, of course, the Jalen Rose Fab Five documentary. The first time he's ever responded to it, that was in a Dan Patrick show yesterday. And Jalen Rose decided to fire back. I'll read his comments in just a sec. But what are your thoughts on this whole thing? Because it seems to be slowly picking up some steam here.
Well, when we talk about beef between announcers and former teammates, I mean, this is the filet mignon. You know, this is the super expensive, extra rare cut that it's tough to find. I did not see this coming from anywhere because Weber's comments were were unprovoked, mm-hmm. and they were a few years after the release of the film. I think Jalen Rose has a right to comment back, but I didn't expect him to come back with such steam, such anger.
Yeah, I didn't either. And Jalen Rose, this is the comment that Jalen Rose had to say upon hearing Chris Webber's comments on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. Rose fired back via Larry Brown Sports saying, quote, one dude traveled, then called the timeout. One dude lied to a grand jury and hasn't apologized. One dude tried to circumvent the documentary to HBO. One dude ignored multiple requests from everyone involved after agreeing to participate. One dude played like President Obama and sat in a suite during Michigan's recent title game. One dude slandered Ed Martin after all he did for him and his family. One dude is not in contact with the other 4, which is all good. One dude has been doing a rebuttal doc for 4 years. One dude is clearly delusional and is still in denial. Talk about shots fired. Bang, bang. Folks, what do you think about those comments from Jalen Rose concerning Chris Webber? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Wow. You'll get my comments later on in the show, but let's get to our esteemed guest for today's current sports. Again, folks, for the first time since I was a junior in high school, 2006 to be exact, Michigan State will host the Big Ten Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Now, again, a three-day event will get underway on Friday, which is tomorrow, and run through Sunday at MSU's Ralph Young Track and Field Facility. Michigan State will compete against 12 other conference schools, including Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. Now, the number 14 Spartan women are the top team in the NCAA Great Lakes region and are the only Big Ten women's squad ranked in the, this is a long acronym here, USTFCCCA poll. Now, on the men's side, Penn State leads the conference at number 11 nationally, followed by Illinois at number 17. And right now we have one of the stars of this squad. She is the 2014-15 Big Ten Indoor Triple Jump champ, Tori Franklin. Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, it's great to be here.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Are you excited about what's about to go down this weekend? This is a big weekend for you guys.
Yes, I am so excited. I can't put it into words.
I can only imagine. Just the mental preparation as well as physical preparation for an event like this. Now, first off, I got to ask, let's take it back to the roots now. What made you want to pursue track and field, and when did you know that you were pretty good at this thing?
Well, at junior high, I did it for social reasons, but in high school, I didn't have much of a choice. As soon as the basketball season finished, like, I turned in my uniform and they're like, all right, go to track practice.
So you hooped it. So you played ball, too?
Yeah, I can hoop.
Dig that. Tori, she's a jack of all trades, right? Continue, Tori.
That day, they're just like, go practice. Here's your varsity uniform. I'm like, varsity? I'm a freshman in high school. And they're like, just go. You know, we know you. So I'm like, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started.
Now,
you know, I want to just bear with me here when looking at some of your accomplishments. Now, I believe for this year, now in indoor, you repeated as Big Ten champion in the triple jump, with a mark of 13.31 meters, placed 12th with a mark of 12.65 meters in the triple jump at the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships. You are a member of the Big Ten Women's DMR. What does DMR stand for? Is that Dominican Republic? What is that? What does DMR stand for?
That's the Distance Medley Relay.
Distance Medley Relay. You see how much I know about track and field, right? The DMR championship team that set the MSU school record with a time of 10:57.80 also ran in the 4x4 relay, 4x400 relay at the Big Ten Championships, helping the Spartans score 2 points with a seventh place time of 3:38.46. And you won the triple jump with a mark of 13:30. At the Jesse Owens Classic on May 2nd. Now, with all that being said, I'm only touching the surface of what Miss Tori Franklin has done here at Michigan State. With all that being said, you still told me that, quote, this is the worst healthy season I've ever had. I kid you not, Tori. Why'd you say that? Why do you think that is so?
It's just been so bad, in my opinion. Yeah, I won Big Tens, but that was just... All it takes is one. That's what my coach always says. And literally, that was the only good jump I had that day. And Nationals, 12th place to me, is not where I should have been. And Jesse Owens, a couple weeks ago, was my first time jumping decent for me.
Okay, so it sounds like you're pretty hard on yourself. When did you start getting hard on yourself, Tori? Because, again, you look at these numbers for the average individual. They're looking at these numbers like, whoa, she's pretty good.
I've always been hard on myself. Freshman year, I got second place at Big Tens, which is, like, amazing for a freshman. And when my coach came over to me, who was Coach Boswick at the time, he came over to me and I was crying. And he's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I wanted to win. And I didn't understand why everyone was looking at me like I was crazy. I didn't. I'm like, I was supposed to win. I was so mad.
So where does that competitive nature come from? Is it because of your family? I understand you have a lot of, like, seven older brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. My brothers, they made me competitive and aggressive, I guess. But my drive, I guess it comes from my parents, because they've always had to work hard for everything that they have or have always wanted. So I guess I just inherited that.
And you're from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Now, out of all of the accomplishments that you've had in this sport, Tori, what would you say is your biggest?
My biggest. I guess I really enjoyed winning the... Regional Athlete of the Year. Last year at NCAA's, in indoor season, they always choose one from each region. And I got Field Athlete of the Year, and that was good. It was a really big ceremony, and all the best NCAA athletes and coaches were there, so that was really cool.
I'm getting a tweet right now, actually, from a listener here. This is from JB Smooth with a bunch of Z's here. He wants to know, what was it like growing up in Chicago?
I was born in the city, but then my mother moved us out to the suburbs for a better education, obviously. And so it wasn't bad. You know, I lived a pretty
So it wasn't like the South Side, which I think is pretty. The South Side is pretty gritty, right?
Yeah. My mom just moved back out there now because we're on college. And so we're back with the family.
Dig that. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are talking with MSU track and field triple jump champion, Torrey Franklin. Now, Torrey, I want to also talk about, you know, your eventual goals in this sport, because I do believe that you crossed the stage this past weekend and got your degree, right? I mean, that's got to be great, right? I mean, talk about that moment, going across the stage and getting your degree.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Well, I was not excited for it until, like, the day before.
Why?
I don't know. I was like, you know, this is what's supposed to happen. This is expected nowadays. And I wasn't realizing how many people don't get a chance to graduate, and I am first generation on my dad's side. My mom is the first on her side.
Wow.
And so I was just really taking it in, the moment and the opportunity that I've been given. So that's what made it really exciting. So, and my whole family came.
So what went through your head when you crossed that stage finally?
I was nervous. I don't know why. I'm like, all I'm doing is walking across. But I was talking to my friend. I'm like, I'm so nervous right now. But I ended up dancing. So
great. What'd you do? What dance you do?
I did the Dougie.
Dig that. Taking it back. She's taking it back, folks. All right. Now, with that being said, I mean, what's your eventual goal in this sport? Because, you know, a lot of individuals who, you know, who, again, because there's a glaring statistic that breaks down athletes who are in college who, you know, they have that dream of possibly going to the pros and making something big out of it, getting paid to play a sport. That's the eventual goal. But again, there's something like, you know, 70 to 80% of those student athletes who compete in college that don't accomplish that goal and have to rely on that degree to do something else. Now you, Torrey, again, looking at your resume, it's very, very impressive. I'm pretty sure you're getting looks all over. What is your eventual goal in this sport? Is it to make this a full-time thing?
Yeah, I really want to compete in the Olympics. No American triple jumper woman has ever made it to the finals at the Olympics because our American women are terrible.
Wow.
Compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
And so my goal is to at least make the finals, and then if I decide to continue to compete, then obviously go for the gold.
So what country usually dominates in the triple jump?
Cuba, the Czech or one of those
the Czech
over
Republic
there.
Or something.
Yeah.
How close has an American woman, you know, come to possibly, you know, having a gold medal in this sport?
Not very close.
Not very
obviously
close.
Since none of us have made finals.
Any bronze or silver medals? I have to Google that one. That's pretty interesting stuff. So your goal is the Olympics. How do you get there? What's the road like? And how close are you?
It's so tough.
I can only imagine, right? Even just to compete in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't get a sponsorship. You have to pay for your own traveling, pay for your own gear. You have to pay to get into the meets, especially if you don't have an agent.
How much is that usually, a ballpark?
I'm actually not sure, since I've never had to do it yet.
Right. Okay.
So,
wow. It takes so a lot of athletes, they don't have a sponsor. How do you get a sponsor in this sport?
By putting down the numbers.
So you have to pay to get a sponsor?
No. If you compete, if you get the marks or the times, they'll come to you.
Okay.
You'll probably have to find yourself an agent who will make it easier for you to get sponsored.
Gotcha. Are you in that process right now, or can you let that cat out the bag, or?
Well, since my season, since my season hasn't gone the way I wanted it to, I have a couple more meets to bring myself back and get myself into a good position to get an agent and get sponsorship.
So this weekend in particular is pretty big. This weekend is what, I'm sorry?
This weekend's regionals, nationals, and USAs. So I have a few more coming up.
Wow. Oh, boy. I tell you what, the pressure is on then, huh?
Yeah.
You got this, Torrey. You got this. No problem. All right. Now, let's get to the nitty-gritty now. Again, Michigan State. First time since 2006 that you know, you guys are now hosting Big Tens. I got to ask, because we always talk about here on the show about, you know, the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs, any postseason stretch of any sport other than track and field, we always discuss that and talk about how big home field or home court advantage is. Does that notion still ring true as well in track and field? And
heck,
talk about
yes,
that.
Man.
It does.
Yeah, because when we go to other schools for Big Tens, like Nebraska or Ohio State, their crowd is awesome for them. They have so many people supporting them, and they don't clap, they don't cheer for us. So it's kind of like, man, screw the crowd, I'm about to just do this. But we'll be here, we'll be at home, and we know we have plenty of family and friends that are going to be here. So that's going to make all the difference.
Right, and do you have family coming out for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love that. All right, now, You know, looking at the dynamic of what's about to go down this weekend, again, to put in perspective for those that don't know, how big are Big Tens as far as the implications and perception of an overall track and field program?
Mm-hmm. Big Tens is, well, the meet itself, it's huge. It's just like the Big Tens for any other sport, for basketball or football. It's just as big. Like, records are broken, you know, careers are made. And so it's going to be an amazing atmosphere.
Overall, as a team, how have you guys performed this year?
Our women's team, we've been doing pretty good. We have huge potential to win. We just got to put everything together at the right time.
Gotta love that. Now, also a pretty cool accomplishment that we had many callers to call in and talk about. I mentioned it many times here on our on Current Sports Radio when it happened, because it was one of those moments. I was actually, I can't remember what game it was, Isaac, but it was an MSU football game. I remember being in the booth, and gosh, I forget what game it was. Michigan State, I believe, like, blew out the team. It was near the end of the year. And, you know, we're sitting in the booth, and all of a sudden, on the Jumbotron, it flashes across, congratulations to the Michigan State women's cross-country team. They have now won the national championship. This isn't like a Big Ten banner. Now, not to dilute those accomplishments, but this is a national championship. I mean, Tori, seeing what Leah O'Connor and the fellow team members of hers were able to do, how much was that? That was pretty inspiring, right?
Right, definitely. They came in as their cross-country team. Obviously, they trained like all in the fall together, so we're not with them as much. But they really created a bond within one another, and they brought that to the rest of the team, which I thought was awesome. And we've done a lot of cool bonding things this year. Like, we just had a poster party where we made...
Poster party? That's a new one. Turn up, all right? What is a poster party?
We all went and ate dinner together. We made a bunch of posters, like, Go Spartans and stuff, and we're just going to... So the rest of the team can hold them up during the meet.
Great. That's fantastic. So I'll see a lot of those posters that were made during the poster party this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I bet they are. I can't wait to see that. Now, and talking about Leah O'Connor, because we've had Walt Drimp on the show before, and Walt has constantly talked about how Leah can possibly go down, or will go down, as the most decorated track and field athlete to ever come through this program. I mean, how close are you with Leah, and what do you think makes her special?
Leah's really cool. We were roommates one time over the summer, like my freshman year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And she's a very interesting individual. She's funny. She's very quirky. She's cool. She's very chill when the rest of the team are around anyways. And I just like her. She has a good leadership type of... I can't think of the word right now.
Right. No, I get your drift. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Now, this weekend, for all those out there listening that want to attend Big Tens this weekend, I mean, what time, you know, does the meet start? Is there a charge for admission or anything like that? I mean,
it's $10 a day. On Friday, I have the whole schedule. I could look it up. Mm-hmm. But it basically goes all day through Friday and Saturday. I think Friday goes to like 10 o'clock because I think the 10K is that time.
It goes to 10 p.m.?
On Friday, I'm pretty sure. Okay. Saturday, it still goes pretty late, like 8
o'clock.
When does
it start on Friday? Like an afternoon sometime?
Sometime.
We'll do, folks, uh-huh. We'll put all this information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll tweet it out later. It's going to be a fun-filled weekend. And, Tori, when do your competitions start?
I compete all day on Sunday. Sunday is the day of the finals. That's when it, like, heats up.
Okay.
Sunday is a good day to go. It goes from 11 to 4. Triple jump starts at 11 o'clock. Shameless.
There you go.
Right there.
So, that's not the only competition you're competing in, though, right?
No, I'm in triple jump, the 4x1, and the 4x4.
That is fantastic. Before I get you out of here, Tori, I am a man who certainly does his homework. And I want to bring up this because I thought this was hilarious. You know, you kind of remind, and this notion kind of reminds me of different individuals in the world of music. Of course, Beyonce isn't just known as Beyonce. She's known as Sasha Fierce as well. I'm trying to think of some other alter egos. Michael Jordan, a lot of people don't know this. I'm a big Jordan fan. Michael Jordan wasn't just known as Michael Jordan on the court, but he had an alter ego, which he dubbed as the Black Panther. A lot of people don't know that. That's a riddle me that, right? That'd be a great trivia question for later on. Tori Franklin, Miss Tori Franklin, is not Tori Franklin when she's out there doing her thing on the track and field track, all right? Her alter ego is Toto. I kid you not, folks. Her alter ego is Toto. I found out this by looking at a promotional video on Tori, and I'm like, what? How did she get Toto out of this whole thing? So I have to know, how in the world did you dub yourself Toto out in the track and field? That's unbelievable. She's cracking up right now, folks. I wish there were cameras in here right now. She's blushing. She's cracking up. Tears are actually coming out of her eyes. How did you get Toast? I got to know.
Well, the name just popped in my head. I don't know, but... But like Tori, me, who I am right now, I'm very goofy, I'm silly, I'm kind, blah, blah. But on the track, I'm like, I'm fierce and I cursed in my head. And you know, she's not a nice person, but she gets me through things. And so that's Toto.
Why Toto? Because you just took the two initials of your first name?
Pretty much. yeah.
Is that what they call you back at home in the shy?
No, they don't.
That is silly. I need an alter ego. Isaac, if you could choose an alter ego name, what would it be?
Oh, I've thought about it.
You have thought about this? Like, you've sat and said, man, what is... I'm just not Isaac. Who else am I? Like, who would you be?
Well, my name's Isaac Constance.
Right.
So, capital I, capital C-O-N. Icon.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
That beats Toto.
That beats Toto. That beats anything I could come up with. I'm just Al. That's my alter ego. Of course, my real name's Alan. Everybody just calls me Al. That's my alter ego. And also, last but not least, not only Toto, but you actually warm up to Eminem's Lose Yourself. Is that
Heck
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Since high school.
That's your hype song when you go out there, right?
Yep.
And you clap to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Describe that. What do you mean clap to it?
Yeah, so on the runway... People do this like type of rhythmic clap. People's varies, and it's basically to get the crowd more involved, and it gets you really hyped up because you're like, "All right, all the attention's on me. We're about to go."
Right.
And so mine is a clap of three, and it goes to like the dun 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 dun.
Oh,
dun,
gotcha.
Dun, dun. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Dig that. Some D-Town flavor in there. Shout out to Eminem. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Tori, you have been fantastic. We wish you all the luck in the world this week, and you and your team. Do your thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot. All right, again, Tori Franklin, ladies and gents, Big Ten Indoor Triple Jump Champion. Again, folks, this weekend, Big Ten's at Ralph and Young Track and Field. Do not miss it. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll talk about the NBA and NHL playoff action that occurred last night. Lance United advancing to the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. All of that and so much more. You're listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Was that a fun interview or what? Folks, if you missed it, just finished chatting with Tori Franklin, who, of course, is the Big Ten Indoor Triple Jump champ with Michigan State Track and Field, Outdoor Big Ten's occurring this weekend, 3-day event starting tomorrow. We'll put the times on facebook.com/currentsports. I'll also tweet them. So if you want to know when those events start and all that good stuff, again, follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKR or just like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. All right, well, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday here on Current Sports, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. So, today being Thursday, May 14th, what exactly happened on this day in sports history? Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
Ah, yes, that's right, folks. You know that music. You know that sound. It is time for Throwback Thursday here on WKAR's Current Sports. So what exactly happened in the world of sports on May 14th? Well, let's take you all the way back to 1874. McGill University at Harvard, they met at Cambridge, Massachusetts for the first college football game to charge admission. How about that? So that was the first time McGill and Harvard, they met, you know, and to play the game of football, and they decided, hey, why don't we make some money off of this thing and charge the public to come in and witness what's about to go down on the gridiron. My, oh, my, how things have changed, right? I mean, it's hard to go. You can't go to any college game, you know, in the sporting world without being charged anything now. I mean, that's unbelievable. I wish we could rewind the time when it comes to that, right? All right, 1904 in St. Louis, the Olympic Games were held. It was the first time for the games to be played in the United States. In 1906, the flagpole at the White Sox ballpark broke during the pennant raising. How awkward is that? Wow. All right, 1913, Walter Johnson of the Washington Senators ended his scoreless streak of 56 innings. In 1918, Stan Kovaleski of the Cleveland Indians set a club record when he pitched 19 innings. In 1918, same year, Sunday baseball games were made legal in Washington, D.C. Why would they be marked? Is that like a religious thing, Isaac?
On Sundays? Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's probably
Christians
why.
Huh? It is, but...
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, 1918, Sunday baseball games were made legal, at least in D.C. All right, 1920, Walter Johnson of the Washington Senators. He won his 300th game against Detroit. In 1967, Mickey Mantle of the New York Yanks. He hit his 500th career home run. Salute to Mickey Mantle, one of the greats. 1972, Willie Mays hit a home run in his first game as a New York Met. Of course, Willie Mays, he has just been passed on the all-time home run list by, yeah, the most hated man in sports, Alex Rodriguez. So shout out to Willie Mays, though, one of the greats, also one of the greats to ever do it. In 1983, Rosa Mota set a female world record when she ran the 20K in 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 55.5 seconds. Wow, that's pretty impressive stuff. Shout out to Rosa. All right, in 1986, Reggie Jackson hit his 537th home run. He passed Mickey Mantle to move into sixth place on the all-time list. 1989, Kirby Puckett hit his sixth consecutive double. In 1995, Eddie Murray hit his 463rd home run to tie for the 18th place on the all-time home run list. In 1997, the Baseball Executive Council suspended New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner. And in 2002, it was announced that Ken Hitchcock had signed a four-year contract to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. If I missed anything that you may know is noteworthy here on this Throwback Thursday, please call up 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Gotta love Throwback Thursday. All right, let's talk about the NBA and NHL playoffs, ladies and gents. First off, of course, in the NHL, last night, Game 7. How entertaining was that, folks? Of course, it was a pretty ho-hum game. Up until about the third period where things, you know, got tied up. And then it goes into overtime, and the Rangers, big goal. Derek Stefan, he scored 11 and 24 in the overtime, lifting New York past the Washington Caps 2-1 and into the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday night. Entertaining stuff, entertaining game. Again, I was kind of flipping back and forth here and there to try and see exactly who would pull out that game seven. I actually had my ESPN streak for cash on the New York Rangers. So shout out to New York getting the job done last night. You know, when things are said and done here, Isaac, we have, what, four teams left now. Chicago, New York, Washington, and I believe Anaheim. Is that right?
Tampa Bay.
So when looking at those four teams, I mean, who do you think has the biggest shot of winning the cup right now?
You know, right now, I like the Rangers. They are sizzling. The Rangers came back from 3-1 down in the series, and that was their first Game 7 at home. And, mm-hmm. Or they'd never lost a Game 7 at home. They had the home ice advantage. I like the Rangers. I think they're riding a hot streak.
So you think New York is going to pull this whole thing off?
I think we've seen stranger things happen, such as the Kings winning it a few years down. They were an 8 seed.
Right.
Hey, hockey's where upsets happen.
Yeah, I really think at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to Chicago and New York. And I just think that, you know, Jonathan Toews, man, I think he's the best leader in all of hockey. It's hard to bet against him. He is a proven winner. And, you know, the troops just seem to rally around him, dude. I really love Chicago. So I've had to pick and choose right now. I'm going with Chicago to meet New York. I think Tampa Bay with Ben Bishop as its goalie. Of course, this being Ben Bishop's first taste of NHL playoff hockey action, which has been pretty formidable. I mean, they got past the Wings, and of course, you know, they move on and are now in the finals here. But at the end of the day, I just think that, you know, something's got to give for Ben Bishop. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think Ben Bishop will eventually crack. And I think we'll see New York knock off the Lightning and meet Chicago for the Stanley Cup. And I think Chicago will take it. So, but it's been very entertaining, man. I love the NHL playoffs because, again, it has that same format as the NBA. I love the series feel, and, you know, anything can happen in hockey, man. Anything can happen. You know, I always talk about puck luck, around this time of the year, and that certainly reigns true, to say the least. All right, in the NBA last night, of course, in game one, what a doozy of a game, folks. What a game. Atlanta in Washington, the Atlanta Hawks, Al Horford, of course, he's a Grand Ledge native. He comes up with a huge rebound and a huge putback to put the Atlanta Hawks on top of the Washington Wizards just seconds after Paul Pierce hits yet another big shot in this year's NBA playoffs. I thought it was it. I thought we were going to be talking about Paul Pierce here on today's show. Here he is again, the quote-unquote old man river, coming through with another big shot and really leading and putting this Washington Wizards team on his back. But oh, how resilient the Atlanta Hawks are. Isaac, I really believe that, you know, in that game, of course, they wouldn't have won without Al Horford. But even just looking at, you know, other than just that moment, other than just that putback, looking at that entire game, Al Horford was the most consistent player on the basketball court. I truly believe that Al Horford is one of the most underrated ball players in the game of basketball today.
Well, when we're talking underrated, you think of the Atlanta Hawks as a team.
Exactly.
Kyle Korver has always been undervalued. A shooter like that is so important for a team. Then you've got Jeff Teague, one of the best defensive point guards who can score and pass with great consistency, does it night in, night out. Then Al Horford. Last night, look at his stat line. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 5 blocks. That's about as good as it gets. That's the top tier of the centers in the NBA right now, and he is one of them.
He certainly is. He's so athletic. And this thing about him, he doesn't just impact the game on the offensive side with the rebounds and the putbacks. And the thing about that makes Al Horford so special is he can stretch a defense. I mean, he can hit that outside shot. He can take you inside. But also, he plays stellar defense. He had a few, you know, steals and blocks down the stretch of that game that will make a grown man cry. He was a man. He was a man yesterday. So you got to shout out Al Horford, a guy who, of course, is from Grand Ledge. I'm going to keep saying that, folks. A lot of people don't know that, man. He's from Grand Ledge, Michigan. I also had the opportunity of going out every year and covering his basketball camp that comes to Grand Ledge every summer. So he may have to push that date if Atlanta gets past Washington, because this team is rolling right now. At the end of the day, though, I think this is still going to a game seven. I think it's still going to a game seven, Isaac, and I got to go with Washington.
Really?
Yep, I got to go with Washington, man. Yep.
Oh, no, you heard me earlier today. But yep. I think Atlanta runs with the momentum. I think they take the series. I think an injured John Wall just makes such a difference, and he played well last night.
Played great last night, yeah.
But it shows how good of a point guard he really is, because that's him playing with 5 broken bones in his hand.
Right, exactly. And it was remarkable what he was able to do with 5 broken bones in his hand. All right, second game, Isaac, of course, Golden State with a 20-point whopping of the Memphis Grizzlies. Will the real Memphis Grizzlies please stand up? Because this is the team that I've been seeing all year. You know, especially these past 2 games, it's like they have just been non-existent. You got to give a lot of credit to Golden State, especially on the defensive end. It seems as though Steph Curry, who started this series pretty slow, ever since Steph Curry got honored with the NBA's MVP, you know, the games that have followed that moment haven't been great, but it's like, hey, he said, hey, I got this, and Steph Curry has been the Steph Curry that we've seen all year, coupled with Klay Thompson. We all know Draymond Green, MSU alum, he's been fantastic this entire series. I just think now I think Memphis may be raising the white flag here. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's happened to Memphis, Isaac.
Well, Al, I was trying to gather myself to get a yawn going for this because that game was so boring.
Yes, it was.
Golden State was in control the entire game, and when you try to slow a team down but really fail, you only hinder yourselves. And that's what happened to Memphis yesterday. Because the Memphis' whole point this series has been to control the tempo. But when they fail to do that, and when Golden State still manages to get good shots from the three-point line, I mean, Golden State's going to win every time. Again, Steph Curry, 6 of 13 from beyond the arc. Klay Thompson, 3 of 4. Harrison Barnes, 3 of 5. Anytime Golden State shoots like that, you can go to bed early.
Exactly. They're the best shooting team in the NBA. And again, when they're hot like that, it is hard. It's so hard. If there's any advantage that Memphis has, it's their size. I don't know where Z-Bo is gone. I don't know what's going on with him. Gasol, he's another guy. I just don't know about Memphis right now, man. And I just think right now, you know, anytime Golden State has the momentum in a series, they usually don't relinquish it. So, yeah, you may want to put the kids to bed in that regard, in that series. All right, let's hit our second break here, Isaac. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by talking about Lansing United. Isaac, you were actually there covering it for Impact Sports. We'll get your take on Lansing United advancing to the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. And we'll also close out by chatting about the Tigers who fell to Minnesota yesterday. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports on this Thursday, May 14th. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. How about that break, huh? I think we played some, like, heavy metal going into that break, Isaac, and then...
It's Green Day, Al.
Oh, yeah, like some Green Day going into the break, and then all of a sudden it goes to complete classical for that promo. How funny is that, right? That's pretty cool stuff. All right, again, folks, 7 minutes left in the show. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527. Got to give a big shout out to Lansing United. Yeah, folks, they held their nerve through 120 minutes of play against RWB Adria, advancing to the second round of the U.S. Open Cup with a 4-2 penalty shootout win after neither team managed a goal from open play. Now, Hoops keeper Quinn McAney. McEnany, I think. Am I saying that right, Isaac? Can you pronounce that for me? Do you know what that is?
I think it's McEnany.
Yeah, that looks right. Quinn McEnany, he made 6 saves during the match, but pulled off his biggest stop against Antonio Aguilar in the opening penalty of the shootout. Now, you were actually out there covering it for Impact Sports. Of course, we had Jeremy Sampson on last week to talk about the U.S. Open Cup, and it's pretty cool because as you advance in this tournament, I mean, you have the opportunity to play some pretty impressive teams. You know, it's like some worldwide, nationally known teams. Maybe the LA Galaxy. Who knows? I mean, as you keep on advancing, so you know, Lansing United could possibly become like you know that 16th seed tourney bid team that goes on and makes a huge upset throughout this tournament. But it's pretty cool stuff, and you know, they certainly made that first step, getting that win over RWB Adria yesterday. I mean, what was the atmosphere like last night, Isaac?
Al, the attendance was 487 people, which is a good draw. And, gosh, the Lansing United fan base is called the Sons of Ransom.
Right,
they are loud, proud, and in the opponent's face. It was really a good atmosphere for a cup tie like that. And Lansing United stepped up to the plate. I can tell you, from the start of the game, it really looked like RWB Adria would win, and I know Quinn McEnany won the man of the match, but the Lansing United head coach really deserves so much credit.
Yeah, Eric Rutland,
because he switched the right and left back to guard against the opposing team's right mid, and that made all the difference because this right mid was just tearing it up. The guy's name is Vucemilovic. It's a Croatian team that Lansing United played, so I might be struggling with these names.
Right, no, I struggle with names on the daily, so you're welcome to broadcasting, right?
Yeah, so, but Vucemilovic was tearing it up against Lansing United.
Yeah.
And about 30 minutes in, Rutland made the change. He put Austin Dunn at left back and Freddie Gomez at right back. And ever since then, we did not hear about Vucemilovic. And then they just held out, went to extra time. Both teams seemed a little fatigued. And then once the game was over, it went to PKs. And, wow, Yves Zwanka had such a nice penalty. It was unstoppable, and really all credit to that kid.
You know, I really got to give a hats off to the Mid-Michigan community because, when we had Jeremy on last week, you know, we talked about how this community has just really embraced soccer. You know, you got to be honest. I mean, especially when you look at the local ties to soccer when it comes to the high school level. I mean, how about the East Lansing High School team? I mean, my goodness, they just came off of back-to-back state championships. Head coach Nick Archer has done one remarkable job. Heck, East Lansing even has this past year's Mr. Soccer in DeJuan Jones, who, by the way, Mr. Jones actually texted me, who is DeJuan's father. He texted me and said that DeJuan Jones is featured in the latest edition of Sports Illustrated magazine. How about that? So I got to pick up me a copy. And folks, if you're a subscriber to SI, or even if you're not, pick up the latest edition of Sports Illustrated and check out that. I mean, my goodness, you got a local kid from East Lansing High School, Mr. Soccer for that matter, donning a place in one of the most storied magazines in all of sports. Fantastic stuff. And then just to see the attendance at a Lansing United game, that's something that Jeremy talked about, you know, last week on how in its first year, I mean, the stands were packed, were completely packed last year. So it's good to see that Lansing United has gotten off to a great start. Again, they will now host Louisville City FC next week, Wednesday, May 20th at 7 p.m. Really wish I could go to that game. Of course, I have to film Current Sports at 3 o'clock, and then I'm actually heading down to Dearborn Michigan, to Ford headquarters to speak to the journalism free press students out there. They have me as their keynote speaker. I wish I could go to that game, though, at Archer Stadium. But I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic time. What do you know about? Do you know anything about Louisville City FC, Isaac?
Well, they're a step up in the division rankings in U.S. soccer, and they've got several former professional players. It's going to be a much tougher task for Lansing United, but hey, it's the magic of the cup. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. All right. Well, folks, this just happened. We have reached our final minute here on WKR's Current Sports, but I want to give a special shout out to the 2014-15 Big Ten Indoor Triple Jump champion, Tori Franklin. Of course, her and the rest of her squad will be competing in Big Tens this weekend down at Ralph and Young Track and Field. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. I want to give a special shout-out to you, yes, you, the listeners, to tuning in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Hey, take care. Have a fantastic Thursday, and be easy, people.